and landlord's duties. Those are the four things you need to know about leasing, which is renting. When you rent an apartment or a home, remember today that's a real estate interest. It's real property. Remember common law, it was not. Why? It was all about voting. It was all about power. Remember common law, leasing property was viewed as personal property. Today it's viewed as real property. Why? We add that T for time. Remember that extra T in each one? When you lease today, it's viewed as a right in the real property for a defined time, somewhat like a concurrent ownership. The future interest resides in the landlord because he gets the property back after your lease. The present possessory interest goes to you. Remember, common law is personal property. Today, it's viewed as real property. Think that might be on the exam? Think? It's going to be, okay? Just a hint, okay? Remember, next Monday, we'll go through every question. Okay. Nature of the land, leasehold interest. Remember, it is a contract. Remember what we talk about transfer of property, the conveyance section that we did, CMDR, what's the C stand for? Contract, right? Same thing for a lease. It's based in contract, which is where two parties come together, the tenant and the landlord, person owns the home, the person who wants to lease the home agrees in a contract for a lease. The tenant has the present possessory interest, that body of rights that you have on the equit right. Presently, the landlord has the future interest after the term of the lease is over. There are three types of tenancies. Three ways you can have a leasehold interest. Remember, I love acronyms. They help you remember things. Pull your weight. Good advice during any time, but particularly during a lease. Periodic tenancy, that's the P. Tenancy for years, that's the Y, or, and tenancy at will, that's wait. PYW, periodic, years, and will. Let's go through them. A periodic tenancy is based on a time period. Periodic means episodic, every time period, okay? Most of these, not all, most of these are month to month. It has become customary for a landlord to like to have their rent paid every month. As a result, if you don't have a lease to the contrary, the tenancy is deemed on the payment period that you have to make the payment. So if your rent is due every month, you have a month-to-month tenancy. Why? You pay every month because you need the property every month. Under common law and under New York State law, if you have a month-to-month tenancy, the landlord cannot discharge that. Can't throw you out until the following month. That's the month after, so effectively 2 months, after you pay the rent. So if you pay for December, you can't throw you out until February. Okay? Why? because you have a contract that repeats itself over and over and over by means of paying that rent. Now remember, it's contract based. So if you have a lease for a year, he can't throw you out in February. Why? Because that supersedes the month-to-month agreement. Okay? As a result of that, this is only when you don't have a lease to the contrary. Okay? Periodic tenancy doesn't have to be month-to-month. It could be week-to-week, day-to-day, year-to-year. Okay? If I pay you for a full year, and then the next year I pay you for another full year, that's a year-to-year tenancy. Still periodic, the period is different. If I rent that hotel room, I usually pay by the night, right? That's a really bad one that I pay by the hour. But if I pay by the night, it's a day-to-day tenancy. Pay per week, again a week-to-week. Most of these are month-to-month. And remember, you get an additional time period based on what the period is that you're paying for before it can end. That's the notice requirement. How does this occur? One, by express agreement. I'll rent that apartment for you each month, and I'll give you $500. Okay? That's an express agreement. You agree to rent it to me, I agree to take it. Implication. You offer an apartment for rent for $500 a month. I come by and say, you still got that apartment? You said, yep. I give you a check for $500, and every month I continue to do that. That's the implication. We never say we're going to do it, but we act that way. And as a result of that, you do it. Operation of law. Under certain circumstances, the law requires and imposes this as a condition to continue to do it. One of it is where you have a holdover tenant. If I turn around and have a lease for a year, and then in that lease for every year, I pay you $500 a month, okay? That lease expires. If I continue to pay you $500 a month after that lease expires, it converts into one of these. That is a holdover tenant. Because your lease has expired, it converts into this. How do you terminate? The landlord or the tenant can terminate by saying, I don't want it anymore. What do? You stop paying the rent. You move out. The tenant says, I'm not going to take your check next month. So in February, he says, you're out of there. Can't do it. Remember, January, you got to give you the period after the time that you rent, okay? Tenancy for years. Tenancy for years is not exactly what it sounds like. It doesn't have to be for years. It's any fixed period of time. It's not recurring. It's an agreement. I say, I'll rent you my house for 16 days. I'll rent you that apartment for a year. It is a defined period of time. Now, under the statute of frauds, a time frame or rental in excess, because it's an interest in real property, in excess of a year, has to be in writing. So if I rent you a piece of property for 16 years, that contract has to be in writing to be valid under the statute of frauds. If I do it for a year and a day, or even a year, it has to be in writing. Okay? Most of your leases are for a period of a year. Now, you don't have to have the lease in writing if it's for less than that. But it's almost always done. Why? Because the landlord wants to be protected, and frankly, tenants should too. Frequently, the landlord writes leased so frequently, you don't have a lot of protections in the lease they give you, but you could if you asked for them. Okay? How is it created? Again, it's created by agreement. Remember, the underlying agreement is a contract. You say, I want to rent your property for 16 days, here's $500 to do it, then you have an agreement. Remember, if it's for longer than a year, then it has to be in writing. Note here, a lot of leases for commercial property are for 99 years. We do it instead of buying the property. A lease for more than 99 years by a human being or a company is deemed to be violative of public policy. Why do we think that is? Anybody have a clue after being here for a while? Thinking this. How about this one? Good. Any ideas? Think of what's the bottom line? Yes. Exactly.
Perfect. Way to go. Come see me after class. There.
A lease for 99 years allows somebody to control the property well beyond the grave. We don't like that. Because remember, this is not a purchase of property where you want to improve it. Somebody else has that future interest. And remember, we limit future interest under the rule against perpetuities to what? Literally three generations. Under the rule against perpetuities, 21 years plus lives of being, under some statutes, 30 years. So as a result of that, there's a future interest involved. Why? Because you're going to give it back to the landlord, right? So a lease of 99 years is viewed in that same light. We say, over 99 years, that's way too long. Somebody else is controlling that property from beyond the grave. We don't like it. That's why that's not a lease. Okay. Termination. Failure to pay rent terminates a tenancy for use. That terminates any tenancy. Okay? You have the obligation, we'll get to this in a minute, under tenant duties, but you have the obligation to pay the rent. Okay? Surrender. I go up and I say, I don't want this property anymore. And terminate it. And you can always terminate my agreement or the expiration of the agreement. Okay? I agree to lease it for 16 days, 17 days, we're done. Right? Don't lease it anymore. Okay. Tenancy and will. These don't exist much. But they can. Most of them are between family members. What does the tenancy and will say? I get to lease the property for as long as we mutually agree. Now, technically an agreement to agree is not a contract. But this is somewhat an exception, because it has the effect of being concretized by a payment. Now, if I turn around and say, I can lease this to you for as long as you want, as long as I want, and you're going to pay me $500 a month, I better have that in writing. Why? What do you think? No, it's not the issue that if I'm paying you every month, how is that going to be viewed under law? Like a periodic tenancy, right? Instead of until I want to throw you out or you want to leave. Okay? So as a result of that, a tenancy in will, unless it's in writing, is going to generally be viewed as presumed to be a periodic tenancy. Most of these do not exist, but they can. And if you put it in writing, it's pretty much going to happen, because you can agree by contract to pretty much do almost anything you want. How does it end? If either party dies, it ends. Why? Because then you don't have anybody to contract with anymore, right? It goes away. If I have a lease for a periodic tenancy, or a lease for years, the new owner is subject to that lease. A tenancy at will is not. Why? Because it is ended at the time that you decide. Well, if you're not around, can you decide? Right? You've assumed room temperature, so you're not making a lot of decisions. As a result of that, it's gone. If the tenant commits waste, this is pretty self-explanatory, waste is trashing the joint or letting it go downhill. That is done. If the tenant seeks to assign his tenancy, give it over to somebody else, that ends it. Why? Because you're not agreeing with the person you thought it was. That's why. Okay? Landlord transfers the interest in the property. That is what found to say the landlord doesn't want the tenancy anymore. The will is over. Okay? Lastly, landlord executes a term lease to somebody else. Again, it's presumed he doesn't want to do it anymore. Okay? Those are the three types of tenancies. Periodic, tenancy for years, and remember that's just a period of time. It's not necessarily got to be a year or more. And lastly, tenancy at will. Okay, what is a lease? A lease is just a contract to be able to rent the property. That's all it is. Like a contract for the purchase of real property, it specifies those terms, who the parties are, what your real property equivalent rights are of each of the parties, how much the parties are going to pay, and the duties and obligations under that lease. Now, who here has a written lease? Raise your hand. Okay? You ever read it? I'm sorry, Ed? Good for your dad. Most leases are written to the benefit of the landlord. Why? Because they're written by the landlord. If you're going to write a lease, you're going to write it to the benefit of somebody other than yourself? Probably not. Unless you're Mother Teresa. She might. Most other humans won't. And as a result of that, look it over closely. Because it provides not just the amount of money you're going to pay and who the parties are, but it provides for all your rights. Now, can a lease be one-sided? You bet your bippy. Anytime. Most of them are. So look it over. If it is a lease where there's lots of properties available for that amount of money, you have more leverage. If it's not, you have less. And it's a contract decision that you have to make. Okay. What are a tenant's duties when they take over the property? Okay? That's what we're going to talk about. You have a number of duties as a tenant. First and foremost, your duty is to pay rent. You got to pay the rent or else you don't get the property. Every contract requires consideration. This is a contract. If you lease, you've got to pay. The amount of the payment depends on what the lease says it is. One of the duties you also have is the duty to repair and not to waste the property. Waste is not just what you think it might be. Waste is allowing a natural degradation of the property that you could stop. To give you an example, if you walk into the house one day and someone had thrown, you don't know, it's probably the cat, threw a paper towel into the bathroom and then flushed the toilet, and now you walk in and the stairs are Niagara Falls, you know that there's a problem. You have an obligation as a tenant under most leases to stop and remediate that problem. Okay? You don't necessarily have to replace the toilet, but you gotta stop Niagara Falls when you say you can. At the very least, you gotta call the landlord and say the cat's out of your hand. I came over here. Now, when I sat in your chairs a number of years ago, I lived next to the Albany. I lived in the downtown door. Anybody ever lived in the downtown door? I don't know if they happened to know even exist, happened to work in St. Wilson. But I lived in Waterbury Hall. It was known as Animal House at the time. My mother walked away from the dormitory when I was a freshman with tears in her eyes. She says, I can't believe my young son is going to be living in such squalor. I said, looks like fun to me. We were a rather rambunctious bunch of young men. Back then, they did not have big stores. I know today they do. But it was all testosterone-filled, crazy freshman boys. They were anxious to do all kinds of new things out of their parents' homes. I walked into the door one day, and as I'm walking in, we were going across with my roommate, across the street to the College of St. Rose. We were looking for a young woman to try and get a date with. Neither one of us was successful in that venture, but we came home. And as a result, back then, you had to be pretty lame, as I was, not to be able to get a date with St. Rose, because it's 5,000 Catholic girls. As a Catholic boy, what can I tell you? I wasn't very good. So, we come home and we walk into the dormitory. There's a City of Albany police officer chasing someone who lives in my dormitory down the stairwell. I turned to my roommate and I said, this cannot be good. The City of Albany generally does not visit the dormitories. The State University of New York at Albany has its own police force. So usually when there's a problem, there are the gentlemen or ladies who respond. This was the City of Albany, so we knew that this was not. I walk into my dormitory floor. It is encompassed head to toe, the whole hallway with broken glass. I turn to my roommate. I said, this is unusual. It's usually not a carpet broken glass. I heard from one of the other students, I said, how might this have occurred when we were out chasing young ladies at the College of St. Rose? They said, there was a bottle war. I said, I had never heard of such thing. What occurred? Back then, the drinking age at colleges was 18. We were all 18 years of age. So young people tended to engage in the drinking of adult beverages, principally beer. Beer came at that point in time in glass bottles, usually brown or green, depending on the beer product you wish to buy. Well, apparently, back then also, garbage cans were made of metal. Those of you who are my age, remember this, it was not plastic the very thing, they were metal. And garbage can tops looked like shields that ancient soldiers would hold up. So one half of the hallway took the garbage can shields and held them up, while they flung beer bottles and hit people at the other end of the hallway. The other people at the end of the hallway held up the garbage can pails and threw bottles back at them. Hence, the bottle war. Well, I found this rather unusual, and other than the fact that the entire place smelled like beer, and there was a lot of glass on the floor that people would have to clean up, wasn't too much damage. Until my roommate calls me the next morning and says, you have to see this. He wakes me up at 5 a.m. Now, I'm a typical college student. You get up a lot at 5 a.m. Frequently, that was the time when many of my colleagues were going to bed. Okay? The bar was closed at 4. They came in. Usually, you could tell what time the bar was closed because by 4:18, all the stereos came on. Okay? This was 5 a.m. I had about 40 minutes of sleep.
He wakes me up. You have to see this.
I turned around and said, have to see what? He brings me into the boys' bathroom, and we were segregated, but there were only boys on the hall, so we were in the bathroom. There were no sinks on the wall. And whoever had removed the porcelain fixtures had not shut off the water. The water was coming out like Niagara Falls. The floor was all covered with water, and the people, I lived on the second floor, the people on the first floor were seeing water come from the ceiling. Unlike the wonderful glass bottle ward, this was causing major damage to the building. Someone had decided in one of the fraternities, back then fraternities were outlawed, so we all knew, there would be a good idea to remove these things and put them in the towers. Not such a good idea. But it doesn't end. Lastly, a young man had lived at the end of the hall, really missed his girlfriend. He was the young man who started the bottle war. I thought that was a good idea. But he said, you know, I really miss my girlfriend. Hence, it's really hot in here. Why the two work together, I don't understand, never will, but proceeded to want to make a window in February in a brick wall. There was no window. He said it will ventilate the entire dormitory, started taking a sledgehammer, where the heck he got that, I don't know, and knocked a hole into the end of the wall at Waterbury Hall. The nice cold frigid air came in, freezing much of the water on the floor. That is characteristic waste. Each one of us as students got a $6,000 bill. Now, you said, well. Now, just to put that in perspective, when I was a student here, my books, tuition, and meal plan, everything I achieved for 1 year at SUNY Albany, $2,500. Okay? My father opened the envelope. Son, you are no longer, hold up, you're not my son. What is this? I said, what does this kid always tell their father? Dad, it wasn't me. It wasn't. I had written this song on it. I didn't know it. Yeah. But I didn't participate. We had a trial here, as the students do, and we had to prove how we worked there. And believe it or not, they did have cameras around, so they did show, there is a film somewhere at SUNY Albany's archives of this young man knocking the bowl on the wall. That is waste. If you were responsible, you got the $6,000 bill. Why? Because of this doctrine of waste. Okay. What happens if you're renting a piece of property? You rent a beautiful house with all of your friends. My daughter rents a house with all of her field hockey buddies. I pay an enormous amount every year for her to live with a field hockey buddy. The reason I agree for this beautiful house for her to live with her six buddies is because I picked the location. It's right across the street from the police station. But she rents this beautiful house that was built in 1848, right across the street from Geneseo, and literally across from the police station. And I went in and introduced myself to the chief of police. Said, please take good luck and take care of my daughter. He promised me he would. He's a father, too. If that house, through no fault of the tenants,
Because it was built in 1848, I'm sure it had an old wiring. If, because of the fact that it somehow has all of its wiring, burns to the ground. Guess what? I still have to pay rent, even though there's no house. A voluntary waste, obviously you're responsible. But involuntary waste you are too. Just like the deficiency in a home mortgage. Remember, if they foreclose on your home and you still owe money, you still owe money. Because a lease is also a contract. You were given the premises in working order. The fact it burned to the ground is not the landlord's fault. Okay? The typical case here is when lightning strikes. If it was the wiring and I could prove that the landlord knew it and should have fixed it, then I might have an argument. What does this mean? Buy renter's insurance. It's cheap. It's very cheap. And it will protect you against this thing. Is there a strong likelihood your house is going to burn to the ground? No. But it also protects you on something that is more likely if a person of less repute breaks in and steals your stereo or something that is of great value to you, in this day and age, your iPad, okay? Then the insurance will pay off. Okay? Now, one side note on this. Anybody know, anyone have ever heard in history, who was the person who started fire departments in the United States? Anybody know that? Very good. You're awesome. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Give her a hand. She said Benjamin Franklin. Thank you. Benjamin Franklin was the first person to start fire companies in the United States. And you know why he did it? Huh? Quit answer, but no. He said he owned the buildings. He did something more important to him. He was the first person to get on the answer. Exactly, stand up. Cheer. Cheer, sorry. Okay? He owned insurance companies. He was the first person to have fire insurance. And instead of paying off on policies if your house burns down, he gave you a little plaque that you put on the side of your house. And if you had Benjamin Franklin's fire insurance, the fire company would come very quickly to your house and put the fire out. What happens if you didn't have his fire insurance? Yeah. The house burned to the ground. The fire company would come real quick to see you. You have a plaque. Sorry. Benjamin Franklin's next door neighbor didn't have a plaque. Apparently, he didn't play well or didn't convince his neighbor to buy a fire insurance. His house burns to the ground. He didn't like Franklin for that. Because the fire company thought it was Franklin's house, came to the house, let it burn to the ground because he didn't have his plaque. The municipality then served soon after. After quite a bit of uproar, started fire companies. That's how they started. But one of the reasons was because of this doctrine. Because fires were much more common then. And when a house burned to the ground, if you didn't own it, you were still obligated to pay rent. And you didn't have a piece of land or any money. So, buy renter's insurance. Okay. Generally, a tenant has a limited duty to repair. If you have major repairs, the foundation of the house is bad. You don't have to repair that. Okay? But normal wear and tear, sometimes you do. And your lease will generally tell you what you have to do and don't. Frequently, your lease will require you to do things like shovel the wall. Why? Because the landlord's legally responsible, then city,
Now that walk shovel. So he'll transfer that to you. Okay? So you have a legal obligation to do the repairs that are in the lease. Now, you have a duty as a tenant not to use the property for illegal purposes. Not a good idea to lease a piece of property and turn it into a crack house. Not only will the police come and pay you a visit, as well as bad people, but the landlord can also throw you a bone wire. Okay? Now, that's an extreme example. What happens if you run that? Or an Indian casino is on the wall. Okay? For now. They're talking about building other casinos. But for now, that's against the law, technically, right? Is that using your premises for an illegal purpose? The courts say no. They say that's what we'll let you slide on because of the fact that so many people do it. It's okay. So a minor transgression is not going to get you in the pokey and turn around and have you evicted. Now, what happens if you're using illegal drugs? Guess what? That property will get you evicted if the landlord finds out. That's a more serious transgression. So basically, the more serious the illegal activity, the more likely it is that it can be. What can the landlord do? He can turn around and get you evicted. That's his number one remedy. Okay? Your number one duty as a tenant is to pay rent. It all begins and ends with paying rent. Because if you don't pay rent, you've immediately breached your contract. Now, in the 1970s, there were a whole bunch of people who said landlords are evil and we're going to do what we call rent strikes. We're going to stop paying rent. There were a whole bunch of cases revolving around that. The courts have come down pretty strongly. You don't pay rent, you're bust out the door. Okay? It doesn't matter why you're not paying the rent. It all begins and ends with not fulfilling your contract. If the landlord is in breach, it's your obligation to sue him or try and enforce somehow his breach rather than stop paying rent. If you just try and stop paying rent, saying you're not giving me what you want so I won't pay you rent, guess what? You're going to lose. If you sue them, you may win. Okay? But you got to keep that rent. Now, there is a middle ground. You could pay your rent to a third party called escrow. So it's out there, and you show the court, I am paying rent. I'm just not giving that landlord who's not doing what I want him to the benefit of the money at this time. That has been held to be moderately successful. Okay? Depending on who that third party is. You can't pay your best friend Nick, say, hold this for me. You're going to have to pay it into a court or pay it into some kind of receiver. Okay? That's a court-appointed attorney. Okay. Number one duty, tenant, gotta pay the rent. Okay. A landlord has the obligation to fix the premises when they become severely damaged. That's his obligation. We'll get to that in a minute, because he's got to give you premises that are habitable. So in the event that you have a piece of property where nature has a tree come through it and destroys it, and now your living room looks like the Wild Kingdom, and the landlord hasn't fixed it, you do have remedies against that. They have to fix it. You don't. Okay? Now, like you have to pay rent, the first duty of the landlord is to give you the property. He's got to give you the actual possession of the property. He's got to give you keys and say, go live there. Now, when I was a kid, the first time I went to Disney World, we stayed in the campground. My uncle, who is my dad, he's a doctor, got to stay in the campground. Very much possible. We thought that was pretty cool. And we went over to him when he got his room. And he opened the door, because remember, we're in the hotel room, is ready for an end, right? Or, and when he opened the door, there was another family in that room. Did he rent that premises? No. Why? The first duty of the landlord is to give you actual possession. If somebody else is in there, if all of a sudden you rent a place and Bruno happens to living there, he's not giving you possession. He's got to give you that one possession, but sole possession. Okay? It's got to be yours to be able to have and enjoy. What are your remedies at that case? You can turn around and sue him for damages or for what we call rescission, which means I want out of this lease. Second thing, a landlord has a duty of delivering what we call quiet enjoyment. This is not what it sounds like. One more time. This is not what it sounds like. Quiet enjoyment does not mean he's got to give you premises that's quiet. He's not warranting to you that your neighbor on the left side of the stereo is too loud. He's not warranting to you that the airplane won't stop when it's coming through your front door. What he is warranting to you is that he will not unlawfully invade your property. It's the exclusivity of leasing. Quiet enjoyment says you and you alone get the possession of that apartment. So if your landlord comes in, sits at your dining room table and says, what's for dinner? I'm here, please feed me. Or if he walks in on you in the middle of the night, says, how's the shower working? That is not quiet enjoyment. Quiet enjoyment has nothing to do with noise. It has to do with the exclusivity that only you get that premises, that you get it by yourself. Okay? It is the protection against the invasion of the property by the landlord. Now, frequently leases will allow the landlord to enter the apartment under certain conditions. If there are repairs that need to be made, the landlord can generally go in the apartment and make them. But they have to contact you and get your permission first. Remember, this relates to the exclusivity of your ability of your present e-foot rights. He can't show up at 4 in the morning wake you up and say, I'm here to fix the shower. Okay? She can't show up at Thanksgiving and say, hey, how was your dinner? You want to share something? Okay? Oh, by the way, I'm here to fix the shower. That exclusivity, God bless you. That exclusivity relates to this doctrine. Okay? The fact that they have the right to come into the premises to fix things, which is frequent and least, requires your permission. Remember, just like trespass, where you have privileges, where you allow that landlord to come in at your time and preference, that's okay. Then it is an exception to exclusivity because then it's your decision. Implied warranty of habitability. This says that the apartment that's given to you has to be fit for human livability. It doesn't say it's got to be the best apartment on the face of the planet. It says a human being can live there. And there are certain standards that you may think are important that aren't. And some that you may not think are important, but are. What does this mean? When you get an apartment, you have to have things like the bathroom. Human beings need that. You have to have a stove. That's important. You need to eat. Now, could that stove be a 1948 GE hot plate? Sure. As long as it works. Does it have to be the most wild, newfangled microwave? Nope. But there has to be a stove there. Does the bathroom have to have a bidet? No. But there has to be a bathroom. You have to be able to have a normal bed fit into the apartment. So, that funny commercial on the radio where they say your credit rating sucks, this is apartment 8AA, which is a room closet, and you don't have the room for a bed, guess what? That can't be put down. It's an apartment. Believe it or not, the city of New York, where space is tight, this has become an issue. Sometimes people are willing to take a really small apartment, but if you can't fit a bed in there, it won't get building code certification as happened. Okay. This warranty basically says a human being can live there. Now, if I rent you an apartment or a house and it doesn't have a side, so the elements come in on one side, not even the toilet, it has a stove, but it has no heat. Is that habitable? No. If the heating system's broken and it only gets up to 38 degrees, doesn't freeze in there, but it's pretty darn cold, no, that's not happening. If the heat only gets to 69 as opposed to 72, that's probably going to be okay. Okay? Because it's habitable. It may not be comfortable, but it's habitable. Okay? Again, this is a pretty basic standard, not one of comfort. Okay? Retaliatory eviction. If you turn around and call the Department of Buildings in your local city, or bring an action against your landlord, in court, saying, you know, I don't have a wall anymore. Tree fell down and now the elements are coming into my home. He's got to fix it and he hasn't. And the landlord says, fine, you're out of here. I'm going to evict you. Or if you turn around and say, my landlord's constantly coming in, sitting at the table and asking me what's for dinner. And the landlord says, fine, you're out of here. That's what's known as retaliatory eviction. evicting you for turning around and enforcing your legal rights. That has been held to be unlawful. It's the same as a whistleblower. It's only when you are enforcing your legal rights where that landlord has done something wrong and they seek eviction for that purpose. If I turn around and I'm not paying my rent and they're evicting me for that, that's not retaliatory eviction. Okay? It's only when they evict you for doing something which is enforcing your legal rights. Now, three most important things to remember. Doctrine of quiet enjoyment means nothing about quiet. It means the exclusivity of your rights on the apartment. Let's talk about assignments versus subleases. It's one of the last things we'll check. Now, you get an incredible job in San Francisco. Beautiful city, but it's only for a 3-year contract. You have a 4-year lease on the most amazing apartment that your grandmother's clued you into on Manhattan, overlooking the George Washington Bridge, all the water went, and it's only $250 a month. You think that's the sweetest deal, and you got 4 years left. But you have to go to San Francisco for 3 years. What are you going to do? You know you're going to come back and be able to take that last year. You can't afford to move out to San Francisco and not getting some kind of money for that apartment. You pay up for it. What do you do? You have two choices. Depending on what the lease is. You can either do an assignment or a sublease. An assignment of your lease says, you call up Sam, right? You call up Sam and you say, Sam, I got this sweet apartment. Do you want to rent it for the two? All I'm looking to get is what money I got out of it. Do you want to take it for the next 3 years? Instead of me. Well, we got it for 3 years because I'm coming back and forth. If you want to pay it for 3 years, what do you say?
Sure.
You bet. You then go to the landlord together and say, I want him to stand in my legal shoes. I am going to assign my portion of the lease that next 3 years to him. He ends up paying the rent, that $250 a month, directly to the landlord. Generally, most get off the landlord's nose, because why is it the same rent as he would have got from you? But instead of you writing the check, he does. Now, most leases require a minimum the landlord's approval for this switch. Why? The landlord may have looked at you and said you got good credit, and didn't have an opportunity to check whether Sam's there. Okay? So at the very least, most leases say the landlord's got approval. Some leases say never going to happen. An assignment is when another party takes over your obligation during the portion of the contract. A sublease is different. Because where that assignment is, if he doesn't pay the lease, he doesn't pay one of those $250 payments, you don't have to. Why? The landlord goes after him. Okay? Doesn't go after you. Why? Because you've assigned it to him. Okay? With a sublease, it's different. It goes like a double play combination. He is not stepping into your shoes. He's becoming your tenant. Instead of him paying the landlord directly, he's going to pay you every month. So the money will go from Sam to you to the landlord. If Sam doesn't pay you, you still have to pay the landlord. under a sublease, the tenant is still liable for the rent. Under an assignment, they are not. Okay. Last issue, and I'm sad. This is it. Security. The landlord is responsible for a normal, minimal level of security at the lease price. A landlord in this modern age cannot lease you a property that doesn't have a store. Okay? Now, think about that guard drawn controlling the perimeter. They don't have to turn around and have 24-hour surveillance, drones in the air. They do have to provide the house lots of them. Okay? It's a minimal level of security. If they don't have that, and something happens to you, you can sue them. Otherwise, security is on you as a tenant. There is one exception. If I'm a landlord and have a piece of property, and I advertise it as the safest home in America, I say that Navy SEALs sit outside of that apartment in the guard booth. I say that there's 24-hour surveillance by CIA drones that report directly to me. I say that the private security guards that I hire walk the perimeter at that time. And you get there, and you lease it. It's wonderful. I want to feel safe in my life. But you notice that the Navy CEO is really the former basketball coach who's about 50 pounds overweight. You notice that the drones they said they had is really a guy standing around the center court with an airplane and a string on his hand. And you notice that the security guards that are walking the perimeter is really the landlord and the drone. Turning around with a metal detector saying that there is a machine in the ground. Someone breaks into your apartment, guess what? That landlord is liable. Why? He advertised and turned around and leased you the property under a deceptive fraud-like atmosphere. Fraud is always bad. Okay. Thank you. You've been an awesome class. See you Monday night.
I'm sorry?